Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Long time, I'm going to say friends, because I've done a lot of his college games. I can't say I've drank a lot of beer with him or anything like that, but he's somebody that everybody knows around the country when it comes to men's soccer. He is Sasha Sarofsky, the head coach of Maryland. He's won numerous national titles, placed many a player in Major League Soccer, and he joins us now. Sasha, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. Great to be with you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. And I know COVID's posed a lot of problems for college and the college game, and really just want to kind of get your take on how it's gone so far this year. What are the plans for NCAA soccer in the spring? And just kind of give you a minute or two here to kind of get us up to date.
Well, as most of your viewers or listeners will know, all of the college fall sports got canceled late this summer on the eve of a preseason. We were told there's going to be no college fall sports, at least in the Big Ten. There was a few conferences that played American football, college football, and the ACC and some of the Southern SEC, Big 12, all continued to play. And they played men's and women's soccer, actually. But the 90% of the college soccer programs of both the men's and women's side had their fall seasons postponed. And now the NCAA announced in mid-September that we will have a spring NCAA championship, which we're delighted with. And that championship looks like it's set to start on February 3rd and culminate with a College Cup in Cary, North Carolina, between May 13th and the 17th. And interestingly, both the men's and women's College Cups will be at the same location between May 13th and 17th. So we're kind of excited about that, excited to maybe have a national championship in good weather. And hopefully at that point, we have a vaccine and maybe we get some fans in the stands.
Yeah, so that's Cary, North Carolina. That's a great choice for the national championships, and it's always been a great spot. Tell me a little bit about how this affects recruiting now, because you may have some players who want to extend their college career. I think that gets a little nebulous for some people.
Yeah, it's created a lot of anxiety, confusion, uncertainty for the coaches, the players, and the incoming recruits. So when the season got pushed into the spring, the NCAA followed up what they did last year with college spring sports, and virtually every athlete that's playing any college sport this year is going to get an extra year of eligibility. So this entire year, because there'll be shortened seasons, interrupted seasons, and teams will play anywhere from a few games to maybe a full season, the NCAA has unilaterally basically come out and said, this is basically a free year. Now, that sounds great in theory, but it's very complicated. The majority of men's soccer players are on partial scholarships and some are on no scholarships. So a lot of these kids who will maybe get their degree or graduate or look to move on to play professionally or go and get a job, they probably will not take advantage of that additional year. But in some cases, kids will go to grad school and go to different places. So right now there's quite a bit of movement and decisions coaches have to make in terms of roster management. And it's not easy, but it's a good thing the NCAA did really to provide that relief, but it has created some complications, but I think we can work through those.
Yeah, because in the case of my nephew, he had his final year in the fall, didn't get to play, and you know he's going to end up graduating. I don't think he's going to stick around for an extra year because he's going to have his degree and get out into the work world. So very challenging. We're talking to Sasha Sarofsky, the head coach of Maryland. Now, look, you've been a tremendous proponent for the college game. You've been a tremendous proponent of making it a split semester sport where you play in both the fall and spring. So I'm thinking COVID-19 has probably helped this process maybe a little bit.
Well, it's hurt, and I think eventually will help. In the short run, it's hurt the process because we were scheduled for an April 2019 vote on a two-semester model known as the 21st century model. And we had really made so much headway that we were starting to feel like we had the votes to possibly get this passed. And obviously, when the world shut down in mid-March, the Division I Council really pushed all the legislations back. So we rightfully said, let's give us another year. Let's hold off and see where it's at. So just earlier today, I was met with my 21st century committee of the coaching body leaders across the country to really restart the conversation and see if it makes sense to get this back up for a vote in April. I think there's some positive developments in the fact that, for example, the ACC this year is playing the split season model, and we have three major women's conferences are playing the split season model. It's not quite the same spread out and well thought out 21st century model, but I think they're going to show that it can be done, and perhaps it should be done. However, there are some economic impacts of the COVID crisis that may make us pause for a little bit longer, because right now there is real financial burden on every single campus. There is furloughs at the NCAA conference houses all over campus, and there is a tightening of the belt. So there is this sort of reduction mode happening, survival mode across a lot of college campuses. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't move forward to 21st century model, and we are going to be working within conferences and the NCAA to see if it makes sense to push this for a vote in April, or maybe we push it back a month or two. But it's a great idea, Glenn. It's for the players. It's for the game. It makes sense. And I am passionate, and I will not let go until the day we get this passed.
No, we know that from you. Now, I just want to bring up, like, Angela Kelly at Texas. They're excited because they're going to have a spring season. Yeah. They got to play a limited Big 12 schedule. Yeah. So in some ways, does this kind of prove or pose as a litmus test maybe for the women's game also to maybe get a little bit more heavily involved in a two-semester 21st century model, as you said?
Yeah, I think so. I think the women have been a little bit behind. They haven't been as proactive as the men looking at this 21st century model. But I do think that, you know, you got some of the most powerful conferences, as you mentioned. Ange at Texas is going to have a chance to experience, you know, playing a championship part of their season in the spring. So they played some games in the fall. I think what most coaches will recognize is if you can space out the time between games to have the proper rest and recovery, to have the proper preparation leading up to a game. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, there's way too many college kids getting hurt and just surviving rather than thriving in that experience. And then the games sometimes don't mirror the quality that they should exhibit. And finally, you know, I'm excited to see what a championship in May looks like. You know, whether we have fans or not, I just am excited to see what that looks like, because I do believe we're going to have a really good championship experience this year. And I think it's going to get a lot more of the women's coaches and players, I think, much more excited about this in time. But whether the women jump on or not, the men are committed to pushing this through. And we will be respectful of a timeline. We'll play it smartly of when we push. But we're going to eventually play over two semesters in college soccer.
Do you have some coaches that are adamant about not wanting to do the split semester? I'm just very curious about what the makeup of that would be. And, of course, we're not going to reveal anybody, but does that happen?
No, not really. On the men's side, you know, we've had surveys done for almost 5 years now. We're about 92, 95% in favor on the men's side. And I think even the one or two or select coaches that have some reservations, it has a lot to do with maybe their own personal weather conditions or maybe budget conditions. So it's a very sort of, I guess I don't want to use the word narrow, but it's relative to their own world. But really, we've got 95%. I mean, it's hard to get 95% of people to agree that the sky is blue, you know, on a sunny day.
Good point. Very good. That's the smartest thing that'll be said in this interview, I think. No question about it. We're talking to Sasha Sarofsky, the head coach of Maryland, really interested in this. Now, look, you mentioned this is the right thing for the players, but this is great for coaches, coaching education, men like yourself that have devoted your life to not only taking players to the highest level that they can possibly go in soccer, but also to prepare them for life. Let's face it, you are a huge mentor to all the young people that come through your program.
You know, Glenn, one of my mentors was Bob Gansler, and Bob Gansler always referred to us coaches as teachers in shorts and t-shirts. And we in college soccer in particular really understand the role of being teachers and coaches. But we are also, responsible for growing the game. And I've taken it upon myself as one of the leaders is to find a better way. I think it's easy sometimes to get stuck in a way and keep doing it over and over. It doesn't make sure it's right. And we saw an opening about 7 years ago when the NCAA came out and they said, we care about student athlete welfare. And we said, well, if you really care, then we're going to cash in that check. We're going to bring it to the table. And so we've made a lot of progress. And I think right now we're in a good place. We think we have a lot of momentum. We'll get there. I think the women are coming along. I wish they were with us. I think we'd be in upper 90. We'd pass it. But it's a slow grind. We'll get there.
Sasha, before I let you go, I just want to take you into you as a coach now? And coaches will have to change now. I mean, it's not about just a little rest and recovery and on to your next game. I mean, now you're going to have more time. Maybe your scouting is going to become different. You have the ability to take specific topics maybe in certain training. I mean, it's going to really be kind of different, won't it?
Well, different in such a good way, in such a great way. I mean, to really be able to, number one, do things with when you know your players are mentally and physically refreshed and prepared is an amazing thing. The second part is, you know, you're going to have players be able to compete for playing time in training. Right now, we have such a short preseason and games come so fast and furious that a lot of times, you know, if you're not in the starting group at the beginning, it's hard to get into the lineup. We also have players who will take an injury, Glenn, and they won't feel like they have to rush back and play because they might miss four games in a 10-day period. So you have so many positives, but from a tactical preparation, from, you know, you have times now. If you want to maybe, you know, switch into a 3-5-2 out of your 4-3-3 or prepare, you know, how you're going to press, you have some time to really do that, you know, to counter press these things. And a lot of times right now, it's kind of, we're doing it through video. We're just kind of like trying to cram, and now you can actually teach and you can prepare and you can go. And I think I'm excited about it. I know the coaches are, if we get to that point.
Sasha, would it be fair for me to say there were points in your career based on the condensed college schedule where you looked at your team and you were thinking about changing something tactically that might have been a little bit different and included some different things, and then you kind of said, nah, I can't do it at this point. It's just too condensed.
Well, it happened all the time. In fact, you know, we all try to have at least 1 week in the middle of the year where there was no midweek game, and we kind of look forward to that week, and maybe that was the week that we would incorporate maybe a little bit of a change, a tweak, an adjustment to prepare a team. Because, you know, when you're playing, you know, every Friday, Tuesday, Saturday, you know, with every 3-4 days or Fridays, you just have no time. You're just kind of recovering, and you know, you work a lot on the mind at that point to try to get the kids in a good place so they can feel they can succeed. But, you know, you have injuries. You know, I've said this publicly so many times. You know, I feel like I have one of the top programs in college soccer, and, you know, we draw a lot of fans to our games. But I feel it's unfair sometimes for fans that come to a lot of the midweek games or to come to the third game in 7 days or the fourth game in 10 days because you're not really seeing the best that the players can offer. You know, but you're seeing incredible effort and you know, just a lot of good things, but it just doesn't feel like a really good soccer game. We saw with MLS this year when they had to cram in about a 6-week window where they played almost every 3-4 days, and you could just see that the quality really dropped off. And then now you watch some of the playoff games and there's some time in between, and you see teams that are really well prepared, and it looks and feels like a really good level soccer. And that's what I want for college soccer.
And that's why I'm going to let you go, because we got in about an hour and 5 minutes. It all kicks off. Three games in a row tonight. It's going to be a great night. We appreciate you being on the show, as always. What a proponent for the game in this country and looking at it, not from the standpoint of just winning.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. That's Sasha Sarofsky, number of titles at Maryland. And by the way, there's Maryland players in action all over the Major League Soccer playoffs.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.